Good morning, happy new year to you. If you're here for the first time, the 21st time, 31st time, you're very welcome. I had a song there, I just couldn't quite find it. We were coming down the cairn, is it there, Don Francisco? Adam. Where are you? Did you find it, love? I saved it last night. I thought I saved it. This is the thing with technology. I should have asked Joshua to do it last night for me instead. Did you find it? Okay, anyway, we'll start the beginning of the year. We'll start at the beginning of time. Well, actually, after the beginning of time. But really, it was when time was set in place. Creation, isn't it? Did you find it, Josh?
Yeah.
Thanks. So just like to play this song and then just share just a bit of background, and then go into the point that I'd really like to make. Are you happy to do that, Steve? To slip the slides on and off? Yeah? Yeah. So there's a fella called Don Francisco, and he wrote a song, Adam, Where Are You? Did anyone ever hear it before? Some people did, some people didn't. So we're going to have the music playing in a second, and the words are there, are they, Steve? Okay, so just have a listen to that for a second, and then we'll have a...
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. In the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. Then just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Stifling heat of summer now, the gardener and his wife are in the field. And it seems that thorns and thistles are the only crops their struggles ever yield. He eats his meals in sorrow till he sinks into the dust whence he came. All down through the ages, he can hear his maker calling out his name. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? And though the curse has long been broken, Adam's sons are still the prisoners of their fears. Rushing helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. While the father's voice is calling with an urgency I've never heard before. Won't you come in from the darkness now, before it's time to finally close the door? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam,
a little bit jumpy, but the main question that was asked was, Adam, where are you? But the real question is, where are you, isn't it? You know, it says that he's still calling through the ages. Geraldine, where are you? And that's the key. So if we start at creation, there's the account of God's nature. We look at even Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. So that was God's plan. He put all the world, he put everything in place, and then he said, let's make man in our own image. And he gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God made man, and the next one he said, okay, let's... what were they going to do next? So the next thing is they had a plan that man would subdue the earth and that he would be fruitful, he would multiply, he would fill the earth. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seeds, which is on the face of all the earth, thanks Steve, and every tree fruit seeds, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So God created the earth, and then it goes on and it says, let me just check here, chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Then God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. So he created the earth, he created a man, formed the man, and then he put the man into the garden. Anyone know what the garden was called? Eden. He put him into the garden. The next thing he did was, okay, so it goes down the rivers and all the different things are in. So the garden was a beautiful place. Imagine the most tropical, beautiful place with big luscious fruit on the trees, the animals passing you by, you know. And what does it say? Let me just think. It's because I read this and I thought, wow, this is lovely. Okay, verse 19. It says, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So God created every bird, every beast. And did he say, okay, I'll call them this? No, he created them all and he brought them to Adam. Adam was the man. He brought him to Adam. And why did he bring them to Adam? To name them. So Adam saw this thing with a big long neck and spots, and he thought, oh, I wonder what we'll call it. And the girl says, what do you think? What do you want to call that? He says, a giraffe. That's a great name. So these are the giraffes. And the giraffes looked at each other, were giraffes, and off they headed, and they had families. And then before you knew, okay. And the next thing, this big thing with a big horn, he's like, well, it's not like a giraffe. It's not like an elephant. We had the elephants last week. So they were going through all the animals and naming all the animals. And, oh, rhinoceros. Yeah, that's kind of unusual. But if you think that's a good name, let's call them rhinoceroses. But so this was a task that was given to Adam. The animals, everything was brought. This is the relationship that God and Adam had. They walked together. They talked. I mean, God could have named them like that. And Adam could have been like a child. You know, when a young child is grown up and they say, what's that? What's that? Table? What's that? Light? What's that? You know, it could have been like a parent and a child, but no. God brought Adam into that relationship that he gave him responsibility for naming. So from the start, there was responsibility given to man to name things. And it was an amazing relationship. Imagine being given responsibility for naming all the animals, all the creepy crawlies, centipedes, caterpillars. You know, how could you come up with all those names? But we have a father who's creative, and he gave us his creative genes. Anyway, so as the time went on, and Adam was noticing Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe and Mr. and Mrs. Rhinoceroses, and then the bit, you know, and God saw. Now, it wasn't Adam that said, you know, it was God looked and thought, okay, he needs a helper. You know, he made man, he saw he was good, you know, but he thought he needs to bring in a little helper. So what did he do? Verse 21, we'll read, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up in the place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So Adam was asleep during this process. Adam had nothing to do with it, you know, apart from the rib was taken from him. This was God's design. This was God's plan. It wasn't something that Adam woke up and thought, oh, I need someone, you know. This was part of God's plan. He knocked him out. He removed the rib. He sealed it back up again. And then he formed the woman, brought the woman. And Adam was like, wow, this is amazing. And he knew straight away she was a woman, you know. She wasn't a rhinoceros. She wasn't a giraffe. He knew she's a female version of me. And he was amazed and he was delighted. And you know what? God still came into the garden and still came and still walked and still talked. And I'm sure they were still naming things, because there's loads of creatures and living things and all the rest of it. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. I mean, I heard a joke, people saying, you know, she went, whoa, man, is what he said, you know, and that's why she was called woman. But anyway, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. You see, this isn't something that Hollywood put together. This is something that God put together, and this is something that God ordained right from the very start, that a man and woman come together to become one flesh. This was part of God's plan. Verse 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now you might think, oh, well, what's so strange? But the thing is, they were naked, they were running around, there was no clothes, there was nothing, and there was no big deal. There was no sense of any of the rest of it, or shame, or, oh, I have to cover myself up, or there was none of that. So bearing in mind all this time, they've named all the animals, they're there together. God comes and sees them, says often it's in the cool of the day he would come, and he actually walked. Physically he came and walked. Chapter 3, so this is the temptation, the fall. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which God had made, and he said to the woman, so if further back it talks, and God showed him everything and said, you can have whatever you want, you can have these fruits, you can have this, anything here you see, you can have. Apart from these two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the fruit of knowledge and evil. He says, you're not allowed to touch them. But anything else you can have. So this is, the serpent comes along and says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So there's the questioning coming in. Eve was carrying on with the kind of things she was doing day in, day out, and she was questioned, did God really say this? Did he say this? And she said, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit, that fruit there, God said, don't touch it, because if you touch it, you will die. So the question was asked, did God really say this? And so she repeated back, well, we can have anything except not them. Then the serpent said, you won't surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So it's amazing how sometimes in the middle, when there's a slight battle going on, and for Eve, the truth was being put back at her, but there was bits taken out of it and it was being misrepresented. Okay, so basically she was told, oh, you're not going to die. No, Eve, you won't die. God only told you don't touch it because once you touch it, once you take from the fruit, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. You're not going to die. And so she's thinking, oh, I'm not. So God Almighty, the Creator, who they've walked with day in, day out, and has said, you can have everything except this. And then the serpent comes in as, did God really say this? Oh, no, God said this. Ah, yeah, but he didn't mean that. So it's amazing how things can get turned and twisted. Our eyes are taken off. So what did she do? So when the woman saw the tree, so she's been told it and she's thinking about it and she's responding and then her words are coming back at her. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, so she saw the tree, she saw it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she was going to get something good out of it. She took it and ate. And very quickly, slapped in the bottom of that verse is, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So the husband was just tagging behind. She had the conversation. She took the fruit. She saw it. She thought, it looks nice, and oh, if it'll give me wisdom, how bad. So she took it, she ate it, and she passed it to her husband. He took it from her, knowing where it came from, and he went, oh, it. Okay. There was no big discussion that's recorded anyway, not just now. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew they were naked. As soon as they ate, as soon as they swallowed, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. What was the difference before they ate the fruit? Were they naked before they ate the fruit? They were. Were they naked after they ate the fruit? Yeah, but not for very long. Their eyes were opened. And they saw, and something happened in that moment. There was a shame, there was a guilt, a sense of understanding that came in there that, oh my goodness, we're naked. I mean, they were husband and wife. They were still naked, but they realized there was that sense of shame. So what did they do? They decided, we better sort this out quickly. So they went and they did a little bit of dressmaking. Sewed some fig leaves together. I don't know how big fig leaves are. Probably need palm trees or something. But anyway, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So they're there, they're all day to spend sewing. Do I look okay? Is this all right? Oh, I can still see something. Cover up, will you? And the next minute, out of the corner, they're hearing the rustling and they're sensing. They're looking and they're thinking, it's that time again, and they know that God is coming. So what do? They ran and they hid in the trees, okay? And the question, then the Lord God called to Adam. Adam, where are you? Adam! Did God know where Adam was? God knew exactly where Adam was. So why was God saying, Adam, where are you? because he wanted Adam to realize where Adam was. When God asks that question of you, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what condition your heart is in. But he still says, Sue, where are you, Sue? God knows exactly where you are. But the purpose was to get Adam thinking, where am I? Adam was like, shh, shh, shh. And Eve was like, he might pass by. I mean, you don't know what's, you know, when kids are playing hide and seek, you know, but you don't know what's going on. You don't know what conversation is going on, but they're probably afraid, you know. And they're thinking, well, we didn't die. What's the worst that can happen? We didn't die. We're still here. Yeah, you're naked and you look a bit more strange to me than you did earlier on. But so the difference is the Lord God said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. So he acknowledges, well, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. You see, something wonderful. There was a relationship. There was no divide. There was communication. There was, you know, God let him name all the animals. He could have done it, but no, he wanted man to be involved. He wanted Adam to be involved. And all of a sudden, this great relationship, he was afraid. He had a sense of fear. I mean, do you think that the fruit tasted all that good? What, for 2 seconds? And it was gone and everything was ruined. Verse 11. And he said, God said to him, who said you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? Did God know that he took the fruit? Or that he... So God already knew. And yet God still asked the question. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves the stupid questions, okay? It's not a stupid question coming from God. But God already knew the answer. Why did he ask the question? Because he wanted Adam to own up and say, oh, so Adam was the brave man and he said, it's her fault. It's her fault. She took it. I was just standing here, okay? So he was standing there helpless. She took it. And what did Eve say? Oh, no, the serpent told me. It was the serpent. So right from day one, as soon as people step into not doing what God wants, we start to see the blame game. I wonder, is it very different for us or is it still the same? It's the husband. So, you know, I lose the keys. They could be anywhere. They could be anywhere, literally. John, where's the keys? John is at work. I've been driving the car, you know. So it's very easy to play the blame game. And that's a funny kind of thing. But how quick are we to blame somebody else? Let's see what Adam said. The man said, the woman who you gave to be with me was you. So firstly, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. You gave her to me and she gave it to me. So he's saying, the woman you gave me. And then he realized, oh no, it's the woman. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you've done? The woman said, oh no, it was the serpent. Deceive me, I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any cattle and more than every beast of the field. On the belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So it keeps going on. But basically, there was a blame game started. They were given a very simple instruction. Whatever you want, apart from these two things. She was deceived into taking the thing, but she stepped into it, participated, and then she invited her husband. He participated. Everything changed for the worse. And then when God came to hid themselves, God called, where are you? Where are you? He knew where they were. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows what position you're in. And he's still saying, where are you? He blamed. Firstly, he said, was you God? And then he said, no, it was the woman that you brought, the woman. And the woman said, no, it was the serpent. So the serpent got dealt with. And then the man and the woman both got dealt with as well. And actually, they got put out of the garden. And things change for the worse, you know. But God is merciful. The story doesn't end there. And there was a promise that relationship was going to be fixed. And we know for those of you, you know, who know God, you know, the relationship was fixed through what Jesus did. But all through the ages, the question still keeps coming. It's funny, it says their eyes were opened. They were both naked and sewed fig leaves and made coverings. And the Lord says, where are you? There's a line in that song. It says, come in from the darkness before it's time to finally close the door. I just wrote a couple of things down there because, you know, we've probably all seen that illustration of how in the beginning you have God and you have man. And how there was perfect, harmonious relationship. They walked, they talked, you know, everything was good. But then how sin entered, it was a choice. But you see, when the sin entered, there was a couple of things. And the part of the woman, what happened? She saw something and then she thought about it and she was questioned and she thought some more. And then she took what she was looking for with her eyes and she took it into herself. And then she passed it to somebody else. So the problem is, in that split of the relationship, we can get involved in different kinds of things to keep us out of that relationship. When Jesus came and Jesus died, it says that he died, it was to bridge the gap between us, to stand in the place of sin, that if we accept that what he did for us, that relationship could be fixed. It was the shedding of his blood that brought forgiveness, that we could come into right relationship with him. The question is, you know, like Eve, okay, I know we're not back in the garden, right? But for those who are in a living relationship with God, you know, there's certain things we know that we shouldn't be doing. And like Eve, the question is, have we eaten from the fruit which we shouldn't be eating from? I'm not talking about too much Christmas cake or any, and I know we need to kind of all watch up, but there's lots of different things. Are we participating in things that we shouldn't be participating in? Not just that, I think there's a key message in there as well, in that when the question was put to Adam, what did he do? He said, you gave me the woman. So firstly, he was saying, God, you. And then he blamed the woman. And the woman blamed the serpent. I wonder, for the things in your life, you know, when God asked the question, you know, Billy, where are you? When he says that to you, when he says it to me, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm sitting here in the church. I mean, what condition is your heart in? Are you in that connected relationship? And he puts the question to you. And he says, why are you hiding from me? Why are you running the other way? And I'm not saying there's anyone here who's in that position, but God knows your heart. God knows my heart. Like Adam, do we blame? But God, you know, all these things happened to me, and if they didn't happen, I would, you know, do we blame God? Do we blame the wife? Do we blame somebody else? We're responsible for ourselves. When God says, stop hiding. Come out of the bushes. I know you're naked. I know you're semi-clothed. Come out of the bushes. You know, we see the picture of light. You know that Jesus is the light of the world and his light shines into the dark areas of our life and shows up things that not everyone can see, but we can see it, but God sees it. Some people can see it, but God sees it and he shines that light in. And why does he shine it in? So that he can do a cleaning. As we open ourselves up to him, as we allow him to do that deep cleansing. I know there's some ladies here who are fantastic cleaners and they go and they do cleaning and they do deep cleansing in the houses for people and all that. But you know, I believe that God is wanting to do a deep cleanse in each one of our hearts. It's a new year and you have a choice to stay in the bushes and hide. And when God is calling, maybe he, you know, but God sees exactly where you're at and his heart is for you. The question, where are you? What is our response? Do we blame other people? Do we hide? Do we ignore? There was a line about rushing helter-skelter with their fingers in their ears. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. But we can hear in amidst all that God is still calling, where are you? It's a very simple message, but I really, you know, and it's been for a few weeks, that's all I've been, where are you, where are you? And, you know, God knows my heart and he knows where I am. And he knows the areas that I need fixing in. And I just need to keep coming and saying, God, would you help me with this issue, with this? But I need to be coming out from under the bushes in order to walk. If I stay in the bushes, he's just going to walk past. You know, New Year's resolutions and all the rest of it, you know, let your resolution to be resolute for good, to be 100% for good. Stop blaming other people. I'm not saying anyone here is, but don't blame any other person any longer. It started in the garden. Adam blamed God. He blamed Eve. She blamed the serpent. The serpent was like, I'm just hissing around here. You know, everyone blames someone, you know, but just yourself for what you've done. You know, it's time to start taking some bit of responsibility and asking God, you know, just realigning yourself so that when God says, where are you, Asha? Oh, you're there, Asha. I'm so excited you came. You know, not just to church, but excited that you came in relationship with him. You get up in the morning that you're in relationship with him. You're having a hard time at work, but you're like, please, God, help me. He says, I'm there with you. She says, you know, often people ask the question, where are you, God? But the real question God is asking is, where are you? Many people are saying, where is God? Where is God? But you know, the same message has came down right from the garden. Where are you? And that's the bottom line of it. You know, people can say all kinds of things. There was two little things here. One was, it was an old word for today thing. And it says, no matter how bad things look, always remember the words, it came to pass, not to stay. Life doesn't stand still. There will always be challenges. Always be challenges. Don't let them destroy you. Instead, use them as opportunities to grow. Once you've grown in the areas where God thinks you need additional maturity, the season you're in will pass. Nothing lasts forever. Although it's hard to believe it at the time. When you're stuck in the mud, you think this thing is going on forever. Oh my goodness. But nothing lasts. It will pass. You will forget your trouble and remember it as water gone by. One author writes, to forget isn't to develop amnesia. It's to reach a place where the misery is pulled from the memory like poison is removed from an insect bite. I'll read that again. To forget isn't to develop amnesia. It's to reach a place where the misery is pulled from the memory like poison is removed from an insect bite. You know, I wonder if there's people here this morning and physically you don't have an insect bite, but in your heart, there's something sitting there and there's something stinging you. These things will pass. Sometimes we need to face things and we need to forgive and we just need to move on. But as long as the poison is in there, you put the finger on it to check how is it. And you're like, oh. You know, while something is live in you, it's going to cause pain. It's going to cause misery. And God is walking in the garden. He's walking in the garden of your life. And he's saying, Lynn, where are you? He loves you. He wants you to have that close relationship. If there's still stings there, if they're from a long time ago, if they're from not that long, allow him to remove that poison from you. Allow him to put healing on it. He's the only one who can do it. The memory will become as water gone by. You stand in, the river runs past you. When the water that's flowing around your ankle today passes, you'll never see it again. But sometimes we can say different things. We can say, oh, I'm just too tired. What does it say in Matthew 11:28? He says, I will give you rest. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling drained, exhausted, it says, he will give you rest. So instead of burying your head in the covers, you get into your bed, you say, God, I'm trusting you for my strength. You give me rest. I'm going to put my head here and I'm going to wake refreshed. You will give me rest. So we need to start standing on what his word says. It's impossible. I can't find my way through this. I just can't do it anymore. What does it say in Luke 18:27? All things are possible. It's time to start putting back some positive biblical truths into our lives for things that we speak over ourselves. I can't forgive myself if we feel we've gone too far. I can't forgive myself. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Romans 8:1, I will forgive you. God will forgive you. If you confess, he will forgive you. I'm not smart enough. I'm not able. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, he's more than able. You mightn't be able, but he's more than able. And in him, you will be able. I can't go on. I can't do it. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you, for where you're at. I can't do it. You can do all things. Philippians 4:13, through Christ who gives you strength. If you're weak and you feel like you need strengthening, then today come out from the bushes. And when God says, where are you? And you can say, I'm shattered. And he says, okay. You can do all things through me. I will give you strength. And you can say, I'm sorry, God, for hiding. Would you strengthen me? I can't manage. Philippians 4:19, I will supply all your needs. I'm afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not given you fear. I feel all alone. You can be in a crowded room, and yet in your heart you can be so heavy and feel so isolated and like nobody really gets me. But in Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you. So come out from under the bushes, and when God is calling and he says, where are you? You say, Hanini or whatever. God, here I am. Here I am in my brokenness and in my imperfections and in my fears and with the poison still hanging out of me. God, would you remove? Would you just walk with me? Will you come alongside me? And I guarantee you he will. He's done it for me. He continues to do it for me in the brokenness and in the struggle. He continues to do it. So I think the question is, you know, that when God says, where are you? I think it's something that we all need to just really think ourselves. And maybe just take a moment in the quietness just to examine your own heart. And you answer the question when God says, where are you? Have you gone cold? Has your heart gone cold? Get out from the bushes and get into his presence. Are you believing what other people have said? Are you blaming other people? Stop blaming other people. It's you and God. You and God. Where are you? And by God's grace, we'll walk in his presence. He had a job for Adam and Eve. And I know he has a task for every single person here that only you can do. He's created you. He's put things into you. So when he calls, where are you? You answer, I'm here. Don't hide. Don't stay under the bushes any longer. Come into that right relationship with him and see what he'll do with you. So if it's okay, Larissa, maybe just for a minute or two, if we could just, people in their own time, just maybe ask. And if anyone wants prayer, they can come up. I'm sure you can. Thanks.
The reason Adam and Eve were hiding because of shame and guilt. That's what the Satan wants us to carry on feeling that way. He brought the shame and guilt in. Where before that they didn't know what that feels like. So if that's what you're feeling now, know that Jesus has paid the price for us. The song is said, the last line say, Adam, where are you? What, Adam, where are you? And they say, Adam, I love you. Hold on to those words. Despite what Adam and Eve did, God, Jesus came to the cross and died for each one of our sins. So when we're willing to come out from hiding, that's when God can do work in us and restore relationship. So don't let the feeling make you feel you can't come out. Knowing that despite our condition, whatever it is, just come to Jesus now and let Him do the work in us. It's no point of hiding. No point of trying to cover ourselves up. No point of trying to make a fake leaf clothing over our hearts, over our spiritual condition. God is the one that can fix us. God is the one that can bring restoration to our spirit, soul, and our body. The fake leaf clothing didn't last very long. God actually did the first kill. He killed an animal to clothe Adam and Eve, made from animal skin. Only God can cover us. So let God do the work and just come boldly to Him and say, I'm here, Lord. When God asks the question, where are you? Just say, I'm here. I'm broken. I'm whatever condition I'm in now. I'm here, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. It is not by power, not by might, not by any things that we can do to fix our problem. It is not by any things that we can do to cover our shame and guilt. It is not anything that we can do to cover our mistakes or to fix our problem or to conquer sins and death. Only you can do that, Lord God, by your Spirit. You're the one that can restore us. You're the one that can fix us. You're the one that doing the work in us. So as your people, we're coming before you, Lord God, and we say that we are here. We are here, Lord God, with our open heart, open, we open ourselves up and we say, Lord God, we are here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do your work in each one of us. Not just while we're here in this morning, but throughout the day, throughout the week, that because you're the one that walking with us daily. Even though Adam and Eve was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, I thank you, Lord God, through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that our relationship with you is restored. We thank you, Lord God, that you are walking with us through your Holy Spirit. Not just on the cool of the day, but you're with us always. You speak to us in our dreams, in our sleep. You're with us, you restore us in our rest time, and you're with us during our waking time and our walking time in everything that we do in work and in school and doing all the things that we do. You're with us constantly because you're in us. We thank you, Lord God. What a great gift it is to know your presence. What a great gift it is to know you and to have you in our lives. We glorify your name. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord God. Amen.